which is a large theme of Romans, of course, but tonight it's specifically Israel and the unsaved and their understanding and attitude toward God's righteousness. I don't know what's going on, brother. Maybe we'll try some new batteries. So we'll begin there in Romans chapter 9 and verse 30 and go down through chapter 10 and verse 4. So starting in chapter 9, verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, thank you, my brother, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So tonight our title is Ignorant of God's Righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now you give us your wisdom, speak to our hearts through your powerful word, and teach us. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified as we open our hearts to hear from you. We would leave blessed and changed. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So bear with me while I swap out the batteries, if you would. But as you can see in this passage tonight, righteousness shows up a few times, doesn't it? Shows up a lot of times. And that's our theme. So let's begin there in verse 30, where Paul says that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. So the Gentiles, he's saying, they have not tried to earn anything as far as God goes. They've not tried to earn heaven or so forth. They have attained to righteousness. And yet, it says Israel, verse 31, they have followed after the law of righteousness and they have not attained to the law of righteousness. So he's saying it's flipped over, isn't it? You've got Israel, who all this time has believed that they can earn heaven because they're Jews, and if they'll just keep the law, which is what they, of course, had been told by the Pharisees and scribes, that if they would just be righteous, they could go to heaven. Then you have the Gentiles, who didn't even believe in God, and yet they now have righteousness. That's because, verse 30, it says, righteousness, which is of faith. And so it's again, this very clear teaching that salvation is 100% by faith. Amen? It's not by works. And that you can't mix them. You can't mix grace and works. You can't mix faith and works. We've seen it already in chapter 3 and 4. Let's look at them quickly, Romans 3:22. But Paul is trying to reach out primarily to the people of his flesh, the Jews, trying to show them that they cannot earn heaven by doing right works. Notice Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So the righteousness, he says there, is by faith to those that believe. Now chapter 4, verse 5. And we'll see it again. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there it is again, his faith. And God even really drives the point home on that verse, him that worketh not. Him that isn't trying to earn heaven, but through faith he has righteousness. That's what we call the doctrine of imputation, where God imputes or puts to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we place our faith in him. Now the Jews, they have been trying to earn heaven, by doing good things. Verse 31, they've followed after the law, but they've not attained it. Why is that? Well, Galatians 3:21, turn over there if you would, Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. And it isn't amazing that 2,000 years later, most people who believe that there's a God are trying to earn their way into His favor, earn their way into heaven. So things haven't changed much, have they? You ask the average person, do you believe in God? Who does say they believe in God? Do you believe you're going to go to heaven? Well, I've never had anybody say, I believe in God, but I believe I'm going to hell. So everybody believes they're going to heaven if they believe in God. But you ask them why, and it's always works, isn't it? Other than born-again Christians who say, well, because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and He saved me from hell and gave me eternal life. Everybody else says, well, I'm a pretty good person. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. It always works. And that's here, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. It says, if it were even possible that there could have been a law that gave life, then you could have earned it that way. And of course you can, and that is never sin once, but it's too late for all of us. By the time we even understand what sin is, we've already sinned so many times, it's done. We're condemned. So back to our passage, verse 32, Romans 9. Wherefore, talking about Israel, because they sought it not by faith, but, as it were, the works of the law. In other words, they sought it by trying to earn it. They had been told for centuries by the Pharisees and the scribes that if they would just keep the law, including, of course, all the jots and tittles that the scribes and Pharisees had added in the columns, if they would just keep all of that, they would earn it. So they're trying to do it by the works of the law. They did not seek it by faith. So they stumbled, it says, verse 32. They stumbled at the stumbling stone that was prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 8. So let's turn there, Isaiah 8:14. And that stumbling stone is a person whose name is Jesus Christ. He is the stone, the stumbling stone. Notice Isaiah 8:14, he says, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's saying that he will become a stumbling stone, and obviously they nailed him to a cross, so they didn't get it, that Jesus was going to pay for their sins. And then go to 1 Peter 2:8, where we see the New Testament equivalent of this, 1 Peter 2:8. And so it's saying that Israel, for the most part, has stumbled at the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is Jesus. And yet most of the world has also stumbled at this same stumbling stone, haven't they? Because they still believe they can get to heaven around Jesus by doing things, obeying their church, getting baptized, anything but through Jesus, even though He says He is the only way. 1 Peter 2:8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So He's saying Israel has stumbled because they have tried to earn God's favor, or heaven, if you will, through the works of the law. When it can't be done, they have to place their faith in Jesus Christ, and that righteousness that they've been seeking through works is imputed by God to those who will trust what Christ did at Calvary. So back to our passage, chapter 10. Paul then reiterates what he said in chapter 9 and what he will say in chapter 11, and that is that his heart still burns for his people. Even though Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, his burden for the Jews never went away. Remember chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I could wish that I were accursed to go to hell if all of Israel could be saved. Then we get here to chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And then chapter 11, he says it again. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, what ye not? And so forth. So again, Israel, Israel, Israel. He says, verse 2, I bear them record, 10:2. They have a zeal. They had a zeal when Jesus came. They still have a basic zeal, don't they? But not according to knowledge. God never once told them that if they would just keep the law, they could go to heaven. He never said that. And yet that's what they believe, and that's what they've been teaching each other for centuries. And then he explains it in verse 3. This is a super powerful verse, Romans 10:3. Because it describes not only Israel's issue, but the world's issue. And that is our title, Ignorant of God's Righteousness. Look what it says. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The world is ignorant of God's righteousness. Israel is ignorant of God's righteousness. What does that mean? It means that they don't understand that God is 100% righteous and only a 100% righteous person can get into heaven. But that's impossible for us, isn't it? We need some supernatural help for that to be possible. That's why God imputes it to us. But they're ignorant. Romans 3:10. Go there if you would. Most of you know it by heart. As it is written, there is none, what? Righteous. No, not one. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at that one. Where God again describes this beautiful doctrine of imputation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that's not about Christ, that we might be made. So this is something God does, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Verse 4, Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that, what, believeth. You can see why righteousness is part of our theme and our title, because it's everywhere in this passage. Verse 30, it's there three times. Chapter 9, 30. 9, 31, it's there twice. And here in chapter 10, verse 3, three times. Righteousness. And then this last verse, Jesus is the end of the law. It's all about Jesus. So let's look at Philippians 3, 9, and we'll see this. And Paul explaining again to the Philippians that it's all about salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:9, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we can attain righteousness. That's the word Paul used. Through faith. We cannot attain it through works. But Israel and most of the people in the world are ignorant of this. Now, for the most part, I think most people are willingly ignorant of this. We read about people being willingly ignorant in 1 Peter. What does that mean? It means they want to be ignorant about this. They want to believe that they can get to heaven the way they think they should be able to get to heaven, so they want God to fit into their box. That's where most people are. So they're willingly ignorant of the fact that God is holy and righteous, and we can never hope to stand in His presence based on what we do. They're willingly ignorant of that fact. And so what do? As it says in chapter 3, or chapter 10, verse 3, they go about what? They being ignorant, go to establish their own righteousness. Establish, in other words, earn it. Well, you know how much righteousness we all have? Zero. Isaiah 64, 6 says, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But this is what most people want. They want to earn it. The only way you can be saved, verse chapter 10, verse 3, is to submit yourself under the righteousness of God. That means to submit yourself to God's way, to submit yourself to the gospel, which says that we are unrighteous. Jesus is righteous, and He is willing to give us His righteousness if we will repent and trust what He did. But that requires admitting we're a sinner, which most people don't want to do. So, ignorant of God's righteousness, aren't you thankful that you aren't? That you understand these great truths and that you have the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. God gave it to us. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary. So they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for reminding us tonight about this beautiful truth of imputation. And for that, we praise You. And Lord, may we just continue to strive to witness to our family and friends about the great truth of the gospel. And Lord, that they need to stop trying to earn heaven and repent and submit themselves to Your righteousness and Your gospel, that they might be rescued from their sin condition and have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Help us to help them get over their ignorance, Lord, in this area. Thank You for speaking to our hearts tonight. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.